Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Wonderful Savior, again we call upon you that you would speak, not your handmaiden. Because if your handmaiden says anything, we will get nothing out of this message. But Lord, teach us right now. We're open and we want your miraculous medicine for our bodies, for our sickness, for our disease. It's going right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone said, amen and amen. Just shout the victory for the Lord's glory. Today, for just a few moments, I'm going to be speaking to you about medicine for the miraculous and faith for the impossible. Every single one of those that came tonight believing God, I want to see in this place how many individuals came here tonight just desperate for a miracle. Would you stand right now? You came desperate for a miracle. We want to release that anointing for that miracle tonight by the one who is the miracle worker, the only one. Man cannot do one thing for us, but only Jesus. And in his mighty name, we're in agreement that you are receiving what you came for tonight. In Jesus' name, can we give God the praise, not one to leave disappointed? Tonight, as we speak of God's medicine for the miraculous and faith for the impossible, we're going to be speaking about a certain type of faith, which is power-producing faith. Faith in the scriptures, in the book of Galatians, is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Faith is also a deposit that we receive into our hearts when we receive Christ as our Savior. But tonight I'm going to be speaking about the faith that comes from the power of the Holy Ghost that operates as one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We see this kind of faith demonstrated in the 9 gifts of the Spirit of God that are given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I will just identify it so that you understand what we're speaking about. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you have your Bibles, just open with us. The Bible says, now there, verse 4, are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Isn't that something? Tell your neighbor how marvelous the Holy Ghost is. Did you know that you can operate in many gifts of the same Spirit in one time of ministering to one person? You can operate in faith, and it can also involve word of knowledge or word of wisdom. So we need to learn how to activate all the gifts of the Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Here it is. And diversities of operations. This is where we need to grow tremendously in our anointing. We need to learn how to operate in all the gifts of the Spirit that are necessary for the moment. They all belong to the Holy Ghost. No one can say, I have a gift of healing. That is completely unscriptural. Or for someone to say, so-and-so healed me. Unless it's Jesus, child, you've got a problem. And you need to get your doctrine right. Because only Jesus can heal, no man. And secondly, we don't have the gifts. The Holy Spirit is the one with the gifts. He's the giver, and he chooses to use us weakened vessels, that we would be his instruments, but we don't have the gifts. He has them. And he loans them to us, not for our own glory, but for the sake of edifying the church. Whether it's a sign or a wonder, that is for an unbeliever. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are distinctly set apart to operate in the body as it pleases him to make the body one, to bring perfect koinonia in the body, to bring perfect oneness in the spirit. For the Bible says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts, plural, of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse types of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. 9 primary gifts by which become the fountain of all supernatural works. Are you following me? Now, I want you to understand something, beloved saints, because the Bible says to another faith. So here, faith is being isolated as one of the operations of the gifts of the Spirit. So how do we operate in that faith? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we really want a miracle, the place we need to grow in our faith is from knowing the word. Are you with me? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody ought to say, the more of God's word is down inside of me, the more faith God is going to release in my life to operate in that faith. Amen. I want us to understand, beloved saints, before we begin, that it is so important that we understand that faith is born out of revelation. It's born out of revelation from God's word. What did the Lord tell Abraham? He said, Lech Lecha, go to the land that I will show you. He had to show him where the land was. He had to go by faith and revelation to found the nation of Israel. He had to go to the land of Canaan by revelation. And so we must understand that revelation is such a powerful, important part of mountain moving faith. So we are going to see, beloved saints, that the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, the word of God is the very source of the supernatural for our faith. And we need to learn God's prescriptions of power. Say it with me, God's prescription of power. I want to share God's prescription of power to you tonight concerning your healing, because right believing is the door to receiving your miracle. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need to have right believing. You see, some people believe it's God's will for you to be sick. Some people actually believe that God put the sickness on them. So we have to bring ourselves into the truth to know God's word. Right believing is the door to receiving. Say it with me. I have to be convinced from the word of God that it's not his will for me to be sick. Are you with me, saints? Come on, believe God. I want you to understand something. When it's a premature assignment to get you out of here before your work is done, it is an assignment from the pit of hell to try to take you out before your work is finished. Are you hearing, saints? Here's what the Bible says. Here's how we know God's word is medicine for the miraculous. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22 says, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto thee, and those that find them, hallelujah, they are life unto thee, and those that find them, and health unto your flesh. Say it with me. God's word is health unto my flesh. All right, every person that's afflicted with cancer or afflicted with an incurable disease, turn to your neighbor and say, God's word is health to my flesh. Come on, God's word is my medicine. God's word is health to my flesh. Come on, believe it, claim it. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, Beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So it's God's will. He said, above all things, John said, above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And how's your soul going to prosper? Through the word of God. Hallelujah. Through knowing it and living it. Say it with me. Through knowing it and living it. I want to give you a very profound word to stand on tonight. How many of you want a word to stand on? You want to be convinced that it's God's will to heal you tonight. I want you to go with me to the book of Exodus, and I want you to see the 23rd chapter and the 25th and 26th verse. This is a promise that God gave to Israel. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 23. And we're looking at verses 25 and 26. The last line of 25. I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. Say it with me. God will take away sickness from the midst of us. Say it with me. I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. Hallelujah. Now watch verse 26. Verse 26, the last line says, the number of thy days I will fulfill. Say it with me. The number of the days that I'm supposed to be on this earth, God is going to fulfill it. Say this with me. No sickness, no disease, no cancer, no lung problem. Nothing is going to take me out before the number of my days are fulfilled on this earth. Somebody ought to claim it right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, I just took a great big dose of God's medicine. Hallelujah. Say, it's healing for my flesh. It's health to my flesh. Come on. Oh, yes, Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor because he's faithful. He's faithful that promised and he will also do it. Amen. I want to read to you some scriptures to stand on tonight. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 7, verse 15. Another one very similar to Exodus 23, 25, which you just read. I want to double that so you can hold on to it, Elder Tony. So you can hold on to it, Dr. Sherry, Dr. Tony. I want you to hold on to it. I want you to hold on to it, Sister Isabel. I know you are, woman of faith. I want every cancer patient in this house to hold on to what we're about to say. Because it's God's word, not mine. Every person that's been diagnosed and the doctor says there's no hope for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, when there's no hope from the doctor, I got to praise God because now I have to believe God. Come on. Say, God, put me in a position that I have to believe God. Deuteronomy 7, 15, part A of the verse. And I will take away all sickness from thee. I will take away all sickness. Somebody ought to say, not some sickness, but all sickness. Come on, I will take away all sickness from thee. That means anything ovarian. That means anything in the blood. That means any kind of high blood pressure. That means sickness in your body. Anything in your arthritis. Any kind of rheumatoid condition. Any kind of diabetes. I will take away all sickness from you. Hallelujah. And I will put none of these diseases upon thee that I have put upon the Egyptians. And we've heard this also in Exodus. Hallelujah. Psalm 67 verse 2. The Bible says, here's another dose of God's medicine, miraculous medicine. Say it with me, miraculous medicine. Because right believing is the door to receiving. See, if we're convinced by the devil that it's God's will for us to be sick, if we're convinced by the devil that God put this on us, then we don't believe right, because the Word of God doesn't tell us that. We have to believe what the Word of God says, child of God. And it doesn't mean you're lacking in faith, because I have seen people that had no faith, but somebody believed for them. So I want you to know, God is not limited on your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have seen, because I'm an eyewitness, so I can tell you. An eyewitness of someone who had no faith at all, not a drop. But somebody else had faith for them. That was many years ago in Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara, California. A tall fisherman by the name of Sam. The description of Sam the fisherman was that he cussed like a sailor. I'm going to tell you the truth. That he was so wicked and evil and mean, but God had a hand on him. There was a little woman who ran the bus ministry in Santa Barbara for Catherine Kuhlman. And she used to speak to Sam all the time. Sam was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer. And the only way he could get rid of his pain was to drink. Now, I don't know about drinking, but they say in the testimony and in the archive of his healing that he drank one bottle of Beef Eater's gin. That's how I know what it is. A day. I don't know how strong it is, but I imagine it's pretty strong. And that was his life. The life of a sailor, a man so filled with bitterness, but a young lady, a dear woman of God, befriended him and said, "You've got to come to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting." And Sam the fisherman said, "I know all about those people. They're paid to give their testimonies. And everything on that stage is an act. And I don't know how many actors they pay per service. But I would not be caught dead in one of those places." And she just kept working on him. Kept inviting him. Because she had the faith for him. And one day when Sam was so sick, she said, "Please, Miss Kuhlman is going to be at the Shrine Auditorium this Sunday. I got a seat for you on the bus. I'll go with you," because she was the captain. "Don't worry. It's going to be a quick ride just to Los Angeles. It's going to be great. We're all going to be together. And what do you have to lose?" So grumbling, he said yes. And she made sure that there wasn't any way he could wiggle out of the deal. And that day came, and he rode the bus, and he came down and was ushered into the terminal section. And he sat with his legs all sprawled out and his arms folded. And his testimony reads, he was wondering how much money they paid out for all those testimonies that day. And how many actors were involved in what was going on that stage. And all of a sudden, Miss Kuhlman pointed her finger right down where he was sitting. And she said, "Somebody here is being healed of cancer right now. And if you stand up, that cancer will leave your body. And this is where workers come in. Not workers so bold and so full of knowledge, so full of zeal without knowledge. The worker that went over to him was a very skilled worker, filled with the anointing, and knew how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine if it would have been somebody that pounced on him? There would have been a fight right there. But this gentle woman knew exactly who it was because the Holy Ghost showed her. She didn't have to guess. She knew by the sign God would give her every time someone was being healed. And she went over to him and she said, "Sir, I believe you're the one that Miss Kuhlman has called out." And he sat there wondering, how does she know I have cancer? And she was so gentle, but so filled with wisdom. And she said, "Do you think you would like to stand?" Because she did say for you to stand and claim your healing. He described what she looked like. Of course, we knew who she was because she was the mentor that trained most of us in the ministry that I had belonged to at that time. My sister knows who she was. She had thick glasses, this thick. More hair in a Pentecostal bun. And her name was Sister Edith. She went over and he stood. And the power of God went through that body. And she said, "Would you mind going down to the front and letting the doctor examine you?" And he said, "I've never felt this before," and certain words came out of his mouth. And they brought him down to the front where Maggie screened him. And when Miss Kuhlman saw him down from the stage, she said, "Bring him up." And he came up to that stage. And as she stretched her finger toward him, that tall man fell on the floor. And when he got up, he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. I said he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not all. He repented from his whole life, and he went into a life of complete prayer afterward. He served God every day for the rest of his life. I said he served God every day for the rest of his life. If you heard the testimony today from Betty Baxter, and I pray you all did, and if you didn't, we will send it to you. I want you to have it because it's a faith builder. And when Betty Baxter in 1941, from a one-horse town in Missouri, and her mother was a precious woman of God who believed God for her daughter who was a hopeless cripple, couldn't even lift her head up or sit in a wheelchair properly, had an enlarged heart with many other physical ailments, and they said she wouldn't make it till 16 years old. And she said she always liked it when her little brother stood next to her because she was so bent over from her spine being so sick from the disease that she had that caused her heart failure, that she said her little brother, who was 4 years old, was the same when she bent over because she could never raise her head up. And so many times she almost lost her life. And her little mama was a Nazarene who never heard of baptism in the Holy Spirit, but she believed the word of God. And to make a long story short, on one day when Betty was so sick and they brought her to the hospital and they said, she's dying. With the multiple ailments that were so frequent in her life and so constant, she was taken halfway to heaven. And Jesus said, Betty, you're going to go back and you're going to be in this condition just a little longer. And come fall, I'm going to heal you. And Jesus gave her the date and Jesus gave her the time. And Jesus told her, don't tell anyone. But her mama, who was a praying mama, knew the same Jesus she did. And Jesus told her mama just what he told her. Are you hearing me, saints? And so it came to pass that the Lord told the mother, and she, when she was sick on that bed, when before she came back from glory, she said, Jesus, because she heard her brothers in the front room one day making a bargain with each other. The one said, I'll trade you. I'll make a bargain with you. If you give me your jacks, I'll give you my baseball bat. And she said, Jesus, I want to make a bargain with you. If you heal my body, I will serve you every single day of my life. She said, I don't know, Jesus, if you take bargains, but I will serve you every single day of my life. Some people have it wrong about healing. They think you're just healed so you can feel better. And isn't it all wonderful? And then we go about our daily life. But I want you to know that if you're healed, child, your life is not your own anymore. You belong to the Lord. He didn't heal you so that you could go back in the world and live like the world. And so Betty, when Jesus told her, he said, I'm going to heal you, fall. She was so sick. And it was summer. And she felt like she was dying. And she said, Jesus, can I ask you one thing? I know you said fall. But can I ask you something? Can you please make fall begin in August just for me? And the Lord said to Betty, I will. And he gave her the day in August. He was going to heal her. And he gave the mother the same date. And the day came. The pastor was very upset. Pastor said, you're going to cause this girl to have a heart attack and cause her to believe something that's not going to happen. But you see, the Bible says in Psalm 67, verse 2, that thy way be known upon the earth, thy saving health among the nations. The Bible says in Psalm 105, verse 37, he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among them. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all my iniquities, and healeth all my diseases. Are you with me, saints? And so that Sunday came. They put chairs around and they had a big, huge chair for Betty. They tried to lift her up. Her body was so brittle and her body was in so much pain. She said that when they lift her up, it was the most excruciating pain she ever had in her life. And they put her in a chair, her body being bent over. And at the exact time, Jesus said that he would heal her. Many people were in the room that had known about it with folding chairs in 1941. And all of a sudden at 3 o'clock on that day that Jesus said he was going to heal her, the curtains in the house began to blow. A wind moved through that place in the front room. And all of a sudden, she felt two hands come inside of her and begin to put her heart back together, pressing on her heart to put it back together. And she knew her heart was healed, and he began to heal a lot of other infirmities in her body. But she said she still was bent over like a hopeless cripple. And she said, "Dear Jesus, can you please heal my back? And can I please not be a hopeless cripple?" And the Bible says that whatever we ask, he's going to give it to us. Are you with me? When we ask according to his will. And healing is his will. I said healing is his will. And immediately everybody heard the back cracking. But they did not see Jesus the way she did. Before that back came into divine order and she stood up, Jesus looked at her in the eyes and said, "Betty, you've been faithful." And she said that for the first time, looking into the eyes of Jesus made it worth everything she'd ever been through in her life. He said, "Betty, you've been faithful." And immediately, Betty Baxter stood to her feet. And from that day forward, she was completely healed and began to travel the world and travel across the United States with Dr. Oral Roberts and became part of his healing campaigns across America. Are you hearing me, saints? And every single day of her life, she served Jesus. So you see, beloved saints, right believing is the door to receiving. Say it with me, right believing is the door to receiving. You see, faith is something that has to be activated. We have to move into miraculous. We've got to do something. There is a doing dynamic to faith. Say it with me, there's a doing dynamic to faith. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith. See, faith is something you say, and faith is something you do. You got to act on God's word. You can't just hold it in. You've got to act on it. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, hallelujah, he said to the one who was sick of the palsy, "Rise up and take up your bed and walk." Are you with me, saints? If you are, say amen. Jesus said with God in Luke chapter 1 verse 37, the Bible says with God nothing is impossible. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus said with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In Luke chapter 18 verse 27, Jesus said with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible, repeated twice. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, said, "All things are possible to him that believeth." I want to tell you something about the way Jesus perceives faith. When Jairus came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, my daughter lieth sick unto death, but come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed." Say it with me. You're going to take possession through the confession right out of your mouth. Say it with me. I'm going to take possession through the confession that comes out of my mouth. Do you see, Jairus had the confession of faith. He took possession of healing. He took possession of the impossible. Are you with me? The Bible says that Jesus began to go with him. And halfway to a miracle. See, some of you are already halfway to a miracle. And the devil wants to put symptoms on you. I said you're halfway to a miracle and he wants to put symptoms on you. I'm not getting much reaction here today. Maybe you're not afflicted in any way, but you know someone who's afflicted. Halfway to a miracle. They came and they said to Jairus, "Trouble not the master, for your daughter's already dead." But the Bible tells us when Jesus heard these words. Jesus is going to shut down the words of unbelief. I said, when Jesus heard these words, Mark chapter 5, I want to quote it for you because I want you to know Jesus will help your faith. If you need faith, you need to say, Lord, help my unbelief. Because I'm going to tell you something. There are some fatalities to faith in this place because we've given in to the thief of unbelief. But today, we're not going to believe that that liar. Somebody ought to say, he's a liar, and I won't receive it. Come on. He's a liar, and I refuse to receive it. I'll show you how Jesus feels about it. I'll show you how Jesus feels when there comes an attack to put a fatality in our faith, to make us doubt, to make us not believe that it's God's will. Mark chapter 5, go with me very quickly. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5, looking, beloved saints, at verse 36. I'll read verse 35 to show you how he shut it down. The Bible says in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further? But the Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard these words, turn to your neighbor and say, as soon as they came out of that man, that doubter's mouth, as soon as those words, those negative words came, come on, as soon as those negative words came, Jesus shut it down. Maybe I'm not getting any witness here. I'm not getting any believers here. Hallelujah. We need to bring that pulpit down, beloved brethren. Hallelujah. We just endure that a little while. I don't like that stage, but I have to go up there for that taping, you know? So for the sake of the taping, I endure it. But I love it down here because I like to be with you all. All right? Hallelujah. Pray in the spirit right now. Oh, we're giving God praise. Jesus heard that unbelief. He shut it down. You know, sometimes that unbelief goes on in our mind. Sometimes we allow our mind to become a ping pong ball with the devil. One day we believe, one day we doubt. One day we know we're healed, the next day we're wondering. The Bible says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man that wavereth think that he will receive anything from the Lord. So today we're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And our confession of faith is not going to change. No matter what the symptoms are, we're going to believe God, that God is the healer and that he's going to do it. Are you following me? The Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard these words, he shut it down. Turn to your neighbor and say, child, I just got a word for you. When those negative words come into your mind, tell you you're not going to make it, tell you that you're sick, that you're terribly afflicted, that you can't serve God, that you're going to go home early, that your life is worthless, that you're going to die before your time, turn to your neighbor and say, child, I got a word for you. Jesus wants to shut those thoughts down because you're going to live and not die. And you're going to proclaim the works of the living God. The devil is a liar. We don't go by symptoms. We go by what God's word says. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter if those symptoms still try to stay there, you're still going to press on. Because you know what you believe. And eventually it will manifest. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Now watch this. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue. See, Jairus was already on a journey. Jesus was so pleased because his faith had declared, lay your hands on her and she shall live. Not I hope she's going to live. Not I'm praying that she's going to live. He declared it. She shall live. She shall live. Come on. Say, I'm changing my confession of faith. Not to I hope so, but to I know so. Somebody ought to say, I know so. Oh, yes. We know so, beloved. That doesn't mean we have reckless faith. But we have radical faith, but not reckless faith. Okay, reckless faith says, well, I'm going home tonight. I'm going to just flush all my medicine down the tubes. That's reckless faith. Okay, that's very reckless. But you're saying, you know, I'm taking this and I believe in God. And Lord, I'm not depending on this medicine. I'm depending on you. Hello, I'm depending on you. You know, you'd be shocked if you knew the sister of Kenneth E. Hagin Sr. had cancer. And he told her to take her medicine. That Hagin told his sister to take her medicine. And she didn't want to take it. And he said, I hate to say this, saints, but my sister went to heaven before her time. You see, sometimes he does it without medicine. Sometimes he does it with medicine. Sometimes he's got different methods of the miraculous. Say it with me. Jesus used many methods of the miraculous. He didn't heal the same way every time. He had many different ways of healing. It depended on the individual. So we cannot be reckless in our faith. One time he gave an example of reckless faith. He said he was so ashamed because they came from Rhema Bible College. It was pastors and they were just using reckless faith. He said, I have to say it, but I'm quite embarrassed that they were students that graduated from Rhema. And he said they had a little child, 3 years old, and it kept running around the pool. And the friends were saying, y'all ought to get a fence, a little gate, so the child won't fall in. And those people said with their reckless faith, oh, we believe God. Oh, we believe God that child's not going to fall in. That's reckless. That's tempting the Lord. And that child fell in, and that child died because of reckless faith. So we're not talking about reckless faith, but we're talking about radical faith. We're talking about not being moved and being convinced that you are not going to die before your time. Amen. That you're going to fulfill your years and complete what God put you on this earth to do. So if I were you, the first thing I would do if I was sick would say, what is my assignment? And I'm not moving off it. Are you hearing me? I hope you're hearing me, child. I got to give it to you like it is because I came from the last generation and I'm an eyewitness, okay? I'm telling you what all the witnesses from the last generation that are in glory now, that what they said when they were here on earth. Are you hearing me, saints? Oh, glory to God. We're speaking from testimonial experience. We've seen it with our own eyes. We heard it with our own ears. I saw Betty Baxter with my own eyes. I was in Miss Coleman's meetings. Are you hearing this, saints? This is not a guessing game. This is reality. My sister, she's been in it. And so what we're saying to you, hallelujah, is from experience. And that we've seen it. Eyewitnesses of the glory of the Lord. And tonight, right now, in Jesus' mighty name, We just receive right now everything God's got for us. Oh, before this powerful healing team comes tonight, I pray that you're so ready. I pray that you're so ready to receive all God's got for you. Hallelujah. We just give God praise and give God glory. Give God honor and give him majesty because he's faithful. Just raise up those precious holy hands. What is it that you need tonight? And I want you to know, precious ones, if you came believing God for someone else, that someone else can be healed while you are here. The Bible tells us of the nobleman. He came to Jesus and he said, "Come, my son's dying." And Jesus said something to him. He said, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." And Jesus said to the nobleman, "Go thy way. Thy son liveth." And you know, the Bible tells us in John chapter 4 that the nobleman believed the words of Jesus. And he went his way. In proxy, a word can go to your loved one right now. In proxy, the sick can be healed. Your mama, your auntie, that one that you love so dearly, that's so sick, those that have mental conditions, schizophrenia is not incurable with Jesus. Can be clothed and in the right mind. That's what the Bible says. In the Aramaic language and in the Greek language. The word for possessed usually refers to something in the mind, demonic control in the mind, to the point it's insane. Other demonic afflictions go in other parts of the body. But possessed usually means the mind. And in the name of Jesus, we just take authority over all mental illness, over all sickness, disease, and depression. Oh, Jesus, we praise you right now. Just raise those hands and receive his love right now. We're going to take communion right now for a miracle. I want everyone to pass out the elements here. And even my precious son back there and grandson. Hallelujah. They're back there running the whole show back there. They're going to take my grandsons from Biola University. And we just praise God. He's a missionary too. Praise the Lord. And we're just praying for miracles tonight in the family. With grandma, your grandma who's home, who needs a miracle, sweetie. Other grandma. Oh, yes. We're believing God for Alicia tonight. Yes, let's just take this. And we just give God the praise and the glory.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button. or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.